Ruchem Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Parsha class on Parshas Mitzora. Today's date is Gimel Nisan Tov Shin Pei Beis, corresponding with the English calendar, April 4th, 2022. Let's just remind everybody that this coming Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol, the Great Shabbos, because of the great miracle that took place in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, where the Bnei Yisrael were commanded to take a seh, a lamb, to tie it to their bedpost and to examine it to get it ready for Korban Pesach. And this was done in front of the Egyptians. The seh was their idol, and they could have killed every Jew on the spot, seeing that their idol was going to be slaughtered. The miracle took place, and they were stricken with terror, and they didn't hurt the Jewish people. It was a nace. The Shabbos, therefore, called Shabbos HaGadol, it precedes the Yetzias Mitzrayim, very great Shabbos. The custom in Klal Yisrael is that the rabbi in most shuls give a Shabbos HaGadol drasha, a speech encouraging the community to observe Pesach properly, and very often the rabbi goes to a list of important dinim laws that are pertinent to the holiday of Pesach. Let us now begin Parshas Mitzvah. I would like to preface my words by saying most of the things I've said in the past, I'm going to mention them, perhaps not in the same order, but I'm going to be mentioning them throughout my shiur, because I want to get to the most important aspect of my shiur, which is the devastating effect of Lashon Hara and what it does to the person who speaks it. You know, Lashon Hara hurts three people. It hurts the person spoken about, it hurts the one who speaks, and it hurts the person who listened to it. I'm going to discuss the parsha and mention some very important parts of the mitzvah of Shmiras HaLashon, but we're going to start talking about a mitzvah and who he is, and how do you become a mitzvah? How do you become infected with tzaras? We use the word leprosy, but it's really a borrowed term. It's really a spiritual disease that can only be removed with tshuva. So let's read part of the parasha and then explain it. The parasha begins, Perek Yudalet Pasuk Aleph. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lema. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Zos tiya Torah samitzora biyom taharaso. This is the Torah, the law of a mitzora, the day he becomes pure. For hu ve'el ha-koyen, and he'll be brought to the koyen. Vayotza ha-koyen el michutz la-machina, and the koyen will meet him outside of the camp, that means outside of all three camps. The Roha HaKohen, and the Kohen will examine him, Vehinei Nirpa, and behold, it has been healed. Nega HaTzaras Me'atzua, this plague called Tzaras from the one who has been plagued. V'tziva HaKohen, V'alokach L'mita Ashtei Tziporim, Chayos Tehoros, and the Kohen will command that the person who is going to be purified to take two birds, two living birds that are clean, or are kosher birds, the eitz erez ushni seras for ezev, and a piece of cedar wood, a red thread, and piece of grass. V'tziva ha-kohen, ha-kohen will then command, v'shachet es ha-tzipor ha-echas, he will slaughter one of the two birds, al-kali cheves al-mayim chayim, into an earthen vessel, into mayim chayim, living water. Es ha-tzipor ha-chaya, the living bird, yikach esa, he will take her, v'es esa eres, together with the cedar wood, v'es shni ha-tolas, and the red thread, v'es ha-ezav on the grass, v'tavalosam, and he will dip them in this mixture, v'es ha-tzipor ha-chay, and the living bird together with all the other items, b'dam ha-tzipor ha-shchuta, in the blood of the bird that was slaughtered, al hamayim hachayim, onto the living waters. So that's the procedure of a person who is a mitzora. Torah tells us he is to become pure. We know that the cause of tzaras that makes a person a mitzora is lashon hara. But it doesn't come on his body immediately. Hashem gives him different warning signs. First, the tzaras comes to his home. Somewhere on the wall, there's a discoloration, and he calls the kohen in to examine that apparent discoloration, and if it's a tzaras, he will tell him to knock down the house. If he's not sure, then he'll lock up the house for a week or two. If he doesn't get the message, then the tzaras goes on his clothing, a little closer to home, so to say. And his clothing will suddenly appear with a discoloration, and he would bring it to the kohen. And if it's really tzaras, he's going to have to burn it up. And by the way, clothing in the olden times were not like going to the to Moore's clothing outlet. Just pick up another suit. Everything was woven by hand, and it was a very, very bad experience to see someone's work of months and months of knitting or crocheting and find it that it's going to be burned. That was also a blow to the person. If he didn't get the message, then it will actually end up on his body. And then if it's a real tzaras, he will be asked to leave his home. He has to announce to everybody who is near him, leave me away, don't come next to me. I'm Tameh. He has to announce it. He has to scream so no one gets close to him. And off he goes outside of all Gimel Machnos, all three camps. In Sefer Chideko of my Rebbe, quotes the Gemara in Masechtas Erechim. Let me read the Gemara. It says the following: Omer Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, "My dechsev zaystia Torah samitzora." This is going to be the law of the mitzora. It really means zaystia Torah. So shall motzi shemra. This is the Torah of someone who uttered a bad report, a lying report. So a gentleman asked my Rosh Yeshiva, I don't understand that. We know Lashon Hara could be something if you spoke falsely. So you're trying to assassinate someone's image and personality, and you make up a story and you slander him. I can understand you call it Moitzi Shemra, you're spreading a bad report. But why is a true report, let's say the person actually stole money, why do you consider that Lashon Hara and you call that Moitzi Shemra? Why is that a Moitzi Shemra if he really did steal? Why is that considered slander? My Rosh Yeshiva answered him the following. A beautiful answer. When a person slanders somebody, what he's doing, he's picking his weak point. He, let's say the person did steal money. And when you report this to another person as just slander, gossip, spreading the information like a peddler, you are not bringing out the true character of that person. He might have stolen, or you thought he stole. You didn't examine it. You thought he took something that didn't belong to him. You didn't go through all of the details that would ascertain that he did steal. Maybe he appeared to steal, but he didn't. But in the meantime, let's assume that he did steal. The same person has many, many different attributes about his personality that you didn't mention. You did not mention any of the other good things that he does, and then say this is what he did. Besides being a kind person and a benevolent person and a caring person and a sharing person, and give him the proper impression that it's due him. And he also stole. It would have tempered the whole message. The reason why, even if you say something true, that he, let's say he really stole, but you didn't bring out any of his other attributes, so people get the feeling that this person is a robber, he's no good, he's evil, a person you must stay away from, and that's called Maitzi Shemra, because it's sheker, it's falsehood to say about a person without speaking about his positive attributes. You only picked one thing, and that is what you emphasize when you slandered him. So the Torah says that is called Moti Shemra. This is the Torah of a person who is Moti Shemra, who goes ahead and slanders other people without giving the proper image of who he really is. We have a similar Mishnah that brings out this point beautifully in Pirkei Avos. We are familiar with the Mishnah that says, "Have he done as kol ha'adam l'kavsuchus?" A person should judge the whole person with a favorable judgment. Why does it say kol ha'adam with a hey? It should have said, "Have he done as kol adam l'kavsuchus?" What's the hey? The hey is the emphasis on not just one part of the person. You have to judge the whole person. The attributes together with the negative, and you don't see the negative as you might have said a moment ago. Have you done as kol adam l'kavsuchus? That's so very, very important. And therefore, Maitzi Shemra is even if you say that he did something which is true, but you brought it out in a negative way, that there's only negativity that can be attributed to what you're saying, and you don't see the person in the proper light. Sefer Chideko brings down a Medrash Rabbah from Parshas Kedoshim. And you have to realize, Parshas Kedoshim is so full of the many, many mitzvahs that the Jewish people have to fulfill, that the Parshas Kedoshim was read behakel, in front of all the Jewish people together at the same time. And the Medrash says the following. Tani, Reb Chia says, Parsha zu nema behakel. The parasha of Kedoshim was said in Hakel because most of the laws of the Torah that affect the Jewish people were mentioned in the parasha. Reb Levi Amar, he says a different explanation. Why was it said Bahakel? Why was it said with the entire community of the Jewish people present? He says, Mipnesha Aseres Hadibros Kalulim Besocha, because the Ten Commandments are mentioned hiddenly in the parasha itself. Anochi Hashem Alekecha, I'm Hashem your God, is mentioned in the parasha in a hidden way when the parasha mentions at the beginning, Ani Hashem Alekechem, I'm Hashem your God. That alludes to the first command. There is the one that says, what about Lo Selech Rachel Be'einecha? It says in Perek Yutes, Lo Selech Rachel Be'amecha in Perek Tezayim, do not peddle information about other people to others, meaning Lashon Hara. That alludes to the ninth Dibra, the ninth commandment, that says, Lo Sana Be'ayecha Eit Shaker, don't testify falsehood about other Jews. When a person speaks Lashon Hara, he's like violating the ninth commandment. So we see this is not a simple matter at all, that Lashon Hara ends up undoing the Ten Commandments. Speaking Lashon Hara, speaking negatively about others, is terrible. Now, if one would learn the halakhas of Lashon Hara properly, he would learn that there are times when you are supposed to and obligated to speak negatively about a person. For example, you know, if someone wants to harm somebody and you have first hand information what the plans are of this person, it's a mitzvah to go ahead and report this to others. We know this particular scenario. We know we have Tzum Gedalia, Gedalia ben Achikam, that's the fast right after Rosh Hashanah, took place because someone told Gedalia that someone wants to kill him. And he right away refused to say, don't tell me Lashon Hara. Well, he was wrong. He was guilty of causing many deaths because he was a governor and he prevented a lot of enemies from hurting the Jewish people. And because he didn't want to accept the Lashon Hara, he himself got killed by his enemy. The result was devastating. Let's not talk about such a negative scenario. Let's talk about shidduchim. A person is asked about a shidduch, and there are positive points and there are negative points. One should struggle before he even opens up his mouth to see what kind of positive points and message he could relay about this person and balance the report in a way that this person has attributes, this person also has some shortcomings, and this is what it is. He puts it, so to say, on the table, and he presents him not in a negative way, but in a balanced way. Such a way, it's a mitzvah. But if a person wants to go into shidduch and he wants to marry somebody, or the same thing as a partner in business, he wants to find out about a certain person whether he should allow him to become his partner in business. And there are things that you may not feel comfortable to say about him, but you have to be very, very balanced in order that the message will not bring him out as a villain. Has to bring it out in a balanced way. But there are many, many laws pertaining to the laws of Lashon Hara, and therefore that's the reason why it has to be studied. But the main thing what I wanted to get to in tonight's shir is what my Rosh Hashiva, Chaim Dov Kelezitzal, says in his Sefer Chideko, quoting a Rabbeinu Bechaya. Rabbeinu Bechaya, in his introduction to Parshas Metzora, brings down the pasuk in Mishlei, Mavis v'chayim b'yad lashon. Death and life are in the hand of the tongue. V'oyhavecha yochal pirya. And the one who likes to talk, good or bad, will eat its fruits. The fact that Shlomo HaMelech in this pasuk brings out Mavis v'chayim b'yad halashon right away tells us what gravity is being created with Lashon Hara. Because if a person is not careful in how he speaks about people, it's a death sentence to somebody who you're speaking about. It could be a job, it could be a relationship between a husband and wife. It could be a familial relation between a brother and a sister, and they won't talk to each other. You're bringing death to other people. But after having learned about the Metzora, in Parshas Metzora, it didn't only bring death to the person spoken about, it has brought death to the speaker himself. A person who speaks Lashon Hara and he becomes a Metzora is equal to becoming a living corpse. He is like a dead person. If the Metzora is in a room with other people under the same roof, everybody in that room is tamei. It's as if a dead person was in that room. The Metzora has to run out of his community and gets locked up outside all three machnas, like I mentioned before. The Metzora has brought death to himself, and the Torah equates that to Misa until the Kohen will pronounce him Tahor and allow him to come back. And it's actually Mida Keneged Mida, because with a person's Lashon Hara, he caused people who were close to each other suddenly become distant from one another. He is being punished with a similar outcome. He is being punished by being separated from his community and until he does tshuva, and that'll appear where his nega, where the symptoms will appear to be clean and not tame, and he'll be allowed to come back after the proper procedure. And we find the whole concept of Lashon Hara not just in Parshas Metzora. We find the whole concept of Lashon Hara at the very beginning of the Torah. It talks about where the Nachash spoke Lashon Hara against Hashem, and he caused death to the world by making or convincing Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, which as a result of that, Adam ate. The world was destroyed through the Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara we find in the Torah even at the very beginning of the Jewish people, where Moshe Rabbeinu himself spoke negatively against Klal Yisrael, and Hashem reprimanded him by saying, look, put your hand in your chest, and then he pulled it out, and his hand became white, snow white, and he became full of leprosy. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't aware at that moment how careful one has to be in speaking Lashon Hara. Later on in the parasha, Dothan v'Aviram, the two famous troublemakers, spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe to Paro, and he nearly got Moshe killed. Miriam, with all the good intentions, spoke against Moshe. Why Moshe separated himself from Zipporah, his wife. And Hashem regarded this as a terrible deed of Lashon Hara. So much so that we have a mitzvah every day to remember, Zechor es asher asa Hashem Elokecha leMiriam. We have to remember what Hashem has done to Miriam, to remember that even if you are a righteous person, even if you're a prophet, a prophetess, you can't get dismissed for speaking Lashon Hara. You have to do tshuva. So now I want to raise a simple, practical question. Why is Lashon Hara so devastating? We know it is. We know it brings death. We know that Lashon Hara makes a person a Metzora. We know that many, many families have fallen apart and businesses have dissolved. And even lives have been lost through Lashon Hara. But why is it so devastating? I would like to offer a simple explanation. The Torah tells us, very, very beginning, when Hashem created Adam. Many of you will probably remember this pasuk. The Torah says in Perek Beis, pasuk Zayin, Vayitza Hashem Elokim es Adam, Hashem formed Adam, ofa min ha'adama, dust from the ground, Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, and he blew into him a living soul, Vayi Adam l'nefesh chaya. And then at that point, Adam became a living nefesh, a living soul. Says Haragim on that point of Adam was Vahi Adam the Nefesh Chaya. It says Vahava Ba Adam Laruach Memalala. He became a speaking being, a being after Hashem blew into him a neshama. He became a speaking being with intelligence, and now it distinguishes him from all the animals in the world. So now let's understand, and we'll be able to appreciate why speaking Lashon Hara is devastating. Because Hashem gave us the ability to speak. It was a gift of speech, a gift of intelligence. Our lives are completely enveloped differently than the animal world. Because of our speech, because of our intelligence. If Hashem gave us a mitzvah to be positive to our brothers and sisters, love your neighbor as yourself, the Torah also tells us, don't go slander your brother or sister, because your brother and sister are really my children. And how dare you take my gift of speech that I gave you, and you use that gift to slander my children, and I told you not to. This would be comparable to a person who had a terrible illness and he was not able to speak. He went to every doctor in the world, and nobody was able to find a remedy to this ill person. And one professor, an elderly professor, says, I am willing to take a chance to see if I can get your voice to come back to you. It's going to be a long operation, but I'm going to try. And this is a marshal that the Chofetz Chaim says. He performs the operation, and lo and behold, He gets off the operating table, and he's able to talk. And he's ecstatic. He can't believe that he's now able to talk. Now, what would happen the next day? This patient who was given back his voice is caught slandering the doctor and his family after he was given this most difficult operation. Instead of showing him the gratitude that he owes him, shows him the terrible disrespect and the lack of hakara hatova. He is such a person who is an ingrat. An ingrat is a terrible person. That's what happens. This is what happens with Lashon Hara. It's devastating because Hashem gave you the power to distinguish you from animals. And if we take Hashem's gift and we use it against Hashem's children, then we are ungrateful. We are called an ingrat. And therefore, the result is devastating. It's devastating to the person spoken about. It's devastating for the person who heard it. And it's devastating for the person who has been the conveyor of this talk, the speaker himself. And for the speaker himself, he becomes a metzora. He's equal to a dead person. A person who is tamei like a person who's died and he has to run out of all three machanos. The Chofetz Chaim in Parshas Tetzaveh gives a very, very beautiful explanation about one of the garments of the Kohen Gadol. And with this explanation, he guides us how we should use our speech and be careful not to misuse it. The Chofetz Chaim explains the me'il. The me'il was that blue sleeveless garment. According to one opinion, it was sleeveless. According to others, it had sleeves. But on the very bottom, at the hem, there were golden bells in between imitation pomegranates made from blue wool, purple wool, and talashani and red. The me'il atoned for Lashon Hara, explains the Chofetz Chaim. Why was it necessary that there should be bells and imitation pomegranates on the bottom? Why was it necessary? Says the Chofetz Chaim, because if the Me'il was to atone for Lashon Hara, it was trying to tell you how you are supposed to use your voice. Sometimes our voice has to be loud and clear as a bell. It's just learning Torah, preventing somebody from speaking Lashon Hara, preventing someone from speaking inappropriate words. You can stop them with your clarion voice, loud as a bell. Sometimes we have to imitate the pomegranate. It has to be quiet and reserved. Took a pomegranate and you shake it all you want. There's no sound out of that. In between the bells were imitation pomegranates, says the Chofetz Chaim. We learn from this that there are times we have to be loud as and clear as a bell, and there are sometimes we have to be quiet and silent like a pomegranate. Examples, when we have the urge to speak Lashon Hara, when we have the urge to say something inappropriate, maybe an embarrassing word or a teasing word, maybe talking Shabbos on things that are not Shabbistic. We have to be quiet. We have to be reserved. We have to be quiet, like a pomegranate. So the Chofetz Chaim says, we learn from the Me'il that forgives us on the Lashon Hara that we might have said from how we're supposed to speak. Sometimes we have to be as clear and loud as a bell, doing the right thing or preventing the wrong thing. And sometimes we have to be as quiet as a pomegranate and silent and not speak Lashon Hara. Or maybe not nod our heads. Somebody who is speaking Lashon Hara and we can't bring ourselves to make an open rebellion, but at least be silent and don't show approval. Yes, this is how the Chofetz Chaim explains this. So we know, and this is what the point I try to bring out from today's shiur, is the damage that's done to the Metzora himself, that he is now equated in the eyes of the Torah as the lowest possible thing, like a dead person. Dead person is the lowest possible level a person could reach. A person has to come to that realization. I would like to conclude something I've said in the past in the name of Rabbi Kessin. If we speak Lashon Hara and don't do tshuva, then we are not done with the repercussions of those words. Especially, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, and we do not get a nega tzaras, get that plague that comes on our bodies. But it hovers over our neshamas onto our soul. When we come to Shemayim, we're going to have a very difficult time explaining ourselves. You see, as Rabbi Kessin explains, when any one of us will be brought up to the heavenly tribunal, who meets us there? It's our Satan, our Malach HaMavis, our adversary. And in your mind's eye, imagine that he has a portfolio full, packed with information about all the things he would like to say about us. And he's just about ready to make his presentation. And Hashem says to the Satan, wait. Are you going to speak Lashon Hara about this person? Let's find out if person has spoken Lashon Hara in his lifetime. And if he did, but did tshuva, then you have no right to speak about him. The Satan is chased out of the courtroom with his portfolio. Can't say a word. Mida keneged mida. Measure for measure. But if Chas v'Shalom, he did speak Lashon Hara, and he didn't do tshuva. So Hashem, okay, you have my permission, Hashem says to the Satan. You can say what you want about him, since he said things about others without curbing his miras haloshon, curbing his. That's when we get into big trouble. So how so important it is that we should adopt the habit of Shmiras HaLashon, guarding our tongues, preventing our friends from speaking inappropriately, or at least you can begin stopping somebody by saying, I am not sure if what you're saying borders Lashon Hara. Now, you're not accusing him, but you're creating a doubtful atmosphere. And the guy who's speaking will get the message, you know, maybe you're right. And, you know, maybe I shouldn't be saying that. You didn't accuse him, but you're saying, I'm in doubt whether what you're saying is appropriate. So maybe it's better to hold back. And something like that gives you the leverage of stopping a conversation like that before it becomes a real problem. Of course, the best way out of this all would be to get into the habit of learning the Sefer Guard Your Tongue. The Sefer Guard Your Tongue, thousands upon thousands of Torah Jews have read it. And I have gone over this book myself from cover to cover numerous times. I learned halacha at my supper table, and I want you to know it is it's refreshing and is life-giving, and it protects me a whole day from speaking Lashon Hara, since I'm showing Hashem that I'm trying to prevent myself from stumbling. May we all do our best in getting from this parsha, Parshas Metzora, the message that we must guard our tongues and prevent ourselves from speaking Lashon Hara. And if we do stumble, to apologize to the person and to do tshuva. And Hashem will readily erase the blemish that you put on your neshama. And we will, im yirtzeh Hashem, if we do this, we will bring Klal Yisrael closer to each other. And we will be, hopefully, merit bringing of Mashiach speedily in our times. Meheira v'yameinu, amen. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Shabbos HaGadol. Kol Tov. Be well.